From Washington, this is VOA News. U.S. Vice President visits Ukraine and shows solidarity against Russia. And Somali militants kill another lawmaker in the capital, Mogadishu. I'm Michael Lippin, reporting from Washington. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden is calling on Russia to live up to an agreement to defuse tensions in eastern Ukraine, where pro-Russian militants are trying to seize power from the Ukrainian government. Biden made the appeal on Tuesday while visiting Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, where he offered support to Ukrainian leaders who accuse Russia of instigating the unrest. Henry Ridgewell has the details.
Vice President Joe Biden, the highest-ranking U.S. official to visit Ukraine since the crisis erupted last year, offered the country's new government financial and technological support. While the trip is seen as a largely symbolic show of support, Biden had strong words for Russia.
But now it's time for Russia to stop talking and start acting. Act on the commitments that they made. To get pro-Russian separatists to vacate buildings and checkpoints, accept amnesty, and address their grievances politically.
Washington has called on Moscow to live up to commitments made in Geneva last week to put more pressure on the pro-Russian protesters to vacate state buildings. Russia denies any involvement in the protests. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
The United States is sending 600 paratroopers to fellow NATO alliance members Poland and the Baltic states. The move is aimed at reinforcing the U.S. commitment to their security, as some U.S. allies in the region express concern about Russia expanding its regional influence through actions in Ukraine. A U.S. Pentagon spokesman says about 150 paratroopers based in Italy will arrive in Poland on Wednesday. He says another 450 paratroopers will be deployed to Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania for military exercises lasting about a month. Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev says his country can withstand sanctions imposed on it by the West in response to the crisis in Ukraine. The United States and the European Union have imposed travel bans and asset freezes on a number of Russian officials. In a televised speech to the Russian parliament on Tuesday, Mr. Medvedev called the Western sanctions absurd.
Мы не допустим, чтобы наши граждане стали заложниками.
He said, "We won't let Russian citizens become hostages to political games. The world has gone a long way to become global, to learn how to agree on the most important international issues, and to work out common rules for the game." Somali militants say they have assassinated a second member of the country's parliament in as many days. The Al-Shabaab militant group says it shot and killed Abdiaziz Isak Mursal on Tuesday in an ambush in the capital, Mogadishu. Somali authorities say Mursal was shot multiple times and died on the spot. UN Special Representative for Somalia Nicholas Kay responded to the attacks by offering this assessment of the threat posed by Al-Shabaab.
A reminder from them that they're still capable, they're still there. A reminder from them that they are determined to undermine the government, create the impression that the government hasn't got control. And I think this will continue.
African Union and Somali troops have driven Al-Shabaab out of most major Somali cities and towns, but the militants continue to carry out attacks. The death toll from last week's South Korea ferry accident rose above 100 on Tuesday as divers pulled more bodies from the sunken vessel. More than 200 people remain missing and are presumed dead after becoming trapped on the five-story passenger ship, which capsized last Wednesday. Divers retrieved 17 bodies from the seawall ferry early Tuesday. The pace of the recovery effort is expected to speed up as conditions improve. The accident is expected to have a final death toll of around 300, making it South Korea's worst ferry disaster in more than two decades. And South Korea's military is warning that North Korea may be preparing to conduct another underground nuclear test. A South Korean Defense Ministry spokesman said the assessment is based on increased activity at the North's nuclear test site. North Korea conducted nuclear tests in 2006, 2009, and 2013 in violation of UN Security Council resolutions. Well, I'm Michael Lippin, reporting from Washington.